fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Die Hard is a Christmas movie, or is it?
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
The band is back together. It's Adam, Dave, and Jamie on the Fantasy Football Today podcast. What's up, everybody? Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Leave us a comment in iTunes. Today, we're talking Arian Foster, and we're looking at average draft position on three different websites through the first six rounds in standard scoring leagues. Dave, hello, sir.
Hi, Adam. How are you?
Are you excited to be back on the show? You've been gone for a while.
Yeah, I've been gone for quite a while. I started getting tweets from people like, are you okay? What's going on? Why aren't you on the podcast? I took a nice long vacation, and I'm ready for some football, man. I'm ready for training camps to open. The first taste of training camp is July 22nd. I believe rookies report to either Green Bay or Indianapolis on the 22nd.
I think it's both.
Could be both.
Hey, Jamie, what's up? Great to have you back.
What band would we be that we're back together? What band has broken up or missed time and then come back together?
Oh, Guns N' Roses. They're touring, right?
That would be us?
We're Guns N' Roses. Yeah, right? We're hard.
Okay.
We're the McLeans, and today may or may not be the anniversary of the release of Die Hard. According to IMDb, Die Hard was released on July 20th, 1988. According to Wikipedia, it was July 15th. So
the greatest Christmas movie ever was released
right
today?
Smack in the middle of summer, you geniuses.
That's right.
Hey, since you guys are, you know, back, the three of us back, I figured it would be a good day for a trivia question. Would you like a trivia question?
Always.
Sure. Right,
here we go. Who was the Indianapolis Colts' second leading rusher last season?
Oh, boy.
I almost don't know if it was a running back.
I was going to say Matt Hasselbeck. It was the first thing that came to my mind.
It could have maybe Luck. Did Luck run enough in seven games?
Seven games.
Yes, he did. Andrew Luck, your second leading rusher. Wow.
With how many yards, Adam?
I don't know, like 130 or something. Not a lot.
Yeah. So between Luck and Gore, they got over 1,000. That's
great.
Yeah,
yeah, they did. Around 1,100.
It was like when Will Perdue used to say, yeah, between me and Michael Jordan, I scored 50 points. We scored 50 points a game.
We have a note on Frank Gore. We'll get to that later. But I do want to start with the big stuff here. Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Fantasyfootball@cbsi.com is the email address. That's the letter I. Please put football podcast or something related to that in the subject line. Guys, where is Arian Foster in your rankings? What about Jay Ajayi, Kenyon Drake? Give me your take on the Dolphins' backfield as Foster is a Miami Dolphin.
Listen, I'm not trusting Arian Foster as far as I can throw him. He's 44th for me in my standard running back rankings, a little bit higher in PPR. How many games are we going to get him for? When you draft him, it can't be with any type of plan. Somebody came at me and said, well, isn't he a top 20 PPR running back now? Because he's on a team and he should have some good opportunities. No, the answer is no, because you don't know how long there's no reliability with him. Jay Ajayi is definitely going to take some work, if not the majority of work. I still have Ajayi ranked ahead of Arian Foster. I'm sorry. I can't buy into Arian Foster as an asset in fantasy football. He's a guy who's going to have to fall into my lap.
Jamie, do you downgrade Jay Ajayi with this news?
Yeah, like 10 spots in my rankings.
He was
18. Now I think he's 28 in standard, and he's 30 in PPR. So he's a number three flex guy. This hurts him clearly. I mean, it was one of those things where, you know, all offseason they were trying to replace him. Now, I think I agree with Dave, he's better than Arian Foster. I'd rather have him than Foster. But I don't want to trust him as a starter now. I think there'll be some, you know, good, if not many good weeks of Ajayi being a solid fantasy option, but it's going to take him scoring touchdowns. I don't think you're going to get a lot of 100-yard rushing games from him in this offense. I don't think you're going to get a lot of receptions from him in this offense with what they did to draft Drake, to sign Foster. You heard Foster, you know, talk about what he thinks he could bring to the team as a receiver. That was his best asset last year. It's really been one of his best assets throughout the course.
It would
of his
be the
career.
Smartest way to use him.
Right.
Because then he's not on the field as much.
Right.
And when you're catching passes out of the backfield as a running back, it's a lot harder to get hurt.
The reports during OTAs and minicamp were that Ajayi was really struggling with his receiving game, catching the ball, and pass protection. So there's a lot of ways that this makes sense. Now, the other side of it is, as Dave said, you know, there's a lot of, you know, reason to let people overdraft Foster because of his name, because of the lack of what you know about Jay Ajayi and to a lesser extent, Kenyon Drake. I think the thing about it though is the Dolphins, this was a smart move for them because would you rather have on your roster Daniel Thomas or Arian Foster at this point? Clearly that's
Foster.
Or even Damian Williams or Foster. So you add a veteran presence, you add a guy that has an understanding of somewhat what this offense or at least what this offensive system can do. But I think the thing about it is Miami did not want to let him go to Detroit to work out there and maybe lose him as they've lost the other two big name guys that they tried to bring in with CJ Anderson and Chris Johnson. His deal though does not suggest that there's a lot of investment there. So he could be still cut if his Achilles and or performance is not good throughout the course of the training camp of the preseason. I'd be surprised if that happens, but it's not a big investment with $1.5 million with still $2 million in incentives for him to get to.
Well, you know, I like to present different sides. So let me just frame it this way. Could you make this case, if you like Jay Ajayi, could you make the case that going into, you know, last week, going in training camp before the Foster signing, you figure Ajayi gets most of the carries and Kenyon Drake gets used in third down situations, maybe catches some passes. And now really nothing has changed except Kenyon Drake might be completely worthless now, plays very sporadically. Arian Foster, in order just to keep him healthy and make him useful, he's basically just used as a pass catcher, maybe gets five carries a game or something like that. And really it's the same situation. The touchdowns and the bulk of the carries are going to go to Jay Ajayi.
That's definitely the case. I think the thing, though, about it is with Adam Gase's offense is if you look at his history, he doesn't like to substitute running backs in the middle of series. So,
but he'll do it. He's done it.
Oh, he'll do it. I mean, every coach will do it. But I think the thing would be is, does Foster, who has a great pedigree of scoring touchdowns, is he going to come off the field because it's, you know, second and one from the two? I don't know if that's the case. This downgrades Ajayi, not significantly, but it downgrades him. I mean, you can't look at it any other way and say that he is still in the same situation. I mean, your argument, Adam, is 100% accurate. It's the same situation, running downs versus passing downs and what each guy brings to the table. But, you know, when you bring in a guy, if Foster's right, and that's the biggest thing, he's got to be healthy. And who knows if he's healthy.
Yeah. Well, I guess it just means that you like Foster better than Kenyon Drake, right? And you consider him more of a threat.
Yeah, you have to now. Drake is going to be on special teams.
Well, I don't mean...
Until Foster gets hurt.
I mean, as the number two running back, you think he's better than Drake and is more of a threat to Jay Ajayi.
Yes.
Right.
Right. But now we can talk about how's this as an idea. Is it worth trying to get Ajayi and Foster? Where you pick up Ajayi, now we're talking about him, round five, round six.
There's no way. If you take Ajayi in round five or round six, you're reaching for him.
You think so?
Yeah, because he's going to fall. I mean, it's just perception's going to fall. Unless he has a great performance in the preseason and Foster's still not 100%. There's still a scenario Foster's on the pup list. I mean, they could go into it with saying,
well,
okay,
then in that case, I don't have a problem taking Ajayi in round five or round
six.
Well,
there's a difference.
Maybe round six.
But I think it's if Foster is there day one of training camp, he's out there, no issues with the Achilles, no issues with his... You know, any of the other ailments that tend to creep up with him, absolutely Ajayi is worth a fifth or sixth round pick. Or I'm not worth a fifth round pick. But if there's the other scenario of him not being right, sure, then Ajayi is still there. But yeah, you can try and get both. I think people though are going to start to reach for Arian Foster because the general consensus was, I don't really know Jay Ajayi. I'm hearing a lot about him from where he's being drafted and people that are doing mock drafts and you know the not necessarily the expert fantasy player, but the one that's in between, you know, the novice and the expert. That is saying, okay, maybe I want to take him, but I don't want to take him as a starter. And now it just pushes him down a little bit, which is making his value that much better. And so I think, you know, Adam, again, to reference your point, he's still going to have some very good weeks. And so wherever you get him, the later you get him, that's the benefit to you by this signing.
Sure.
I think it's a round 6-8 deal if you want to lock him up. Otherwise, Foster will go past round 8.
Foster will go past round 8?
Yeah. I think so. I don't think people are going to reach. I mean, like you said, maybe people.
Oh,
who
I think
don't
Foster
really,
is going to go in round 8.
You would take him in round 8?
I wouldn't, but again, I think
right. That's what I'm saying too. Is that the person who recognizes the name and they're looking at their draft and they don't know who to take? Maybe they went 0 RB. They'll take Arian Foster in round 8. I think if you want to lock up Ajayi and Foster, you just want to get this Dolphins run game to cobble together a number two running back spot on your roster. That's the commitment that it's going
to
take.
Well, Adam, let's just not to speed forward your show notes, but if you have the average draft position for what we're going to talk about in front of you, do you see on Fantasy Pros where Foster's average draft position is right now?
Tell you what, guys. Why don't you answer the tweet of the day, and I will look that up. The tweet of the day is from Sal. It is completely unrelated to what we're talking about. can you guys discuss the likelihood of Josh Gordon returning to the NFL this year?
There was a report from the Cleveland Plain Dealer from Mary Kay Cabot that it sounds as if Hugh Jackson will welcome him back if he's eligible to be if he is reinstated once he's eligible beginning of August. And you would think on the surface that just makes sense because
what else are they going to do?
Well,
they're going to turn down talent.
Exactly. And so I think that if he comes back, he's like the Arian Foster of wide receivers. You just take a chance on a guy that has a lot of talent, but clearly there's a better situation with him because he should be healthy. He's been a proven guy, and maybe the quarterback change or potentially upgrade could help him.
It'll be a round eight, round nine deal, I would imagine.
I think it's the same thing. I think people that will fall in love with the name and what he did for them a few years ago will take him earlier.
Right, but at least in the case of Josh Gordon, if he's truly healthy and he's in game shape, that's a much better risk to take than Foster, whose ceiling, like what's going to have to happen for Foster to be back to where he was when he was healthy last year.
Now, what did you want to know where Foster's going?
His average draft position right now, because it's only a couple days removed from him signing. So the drafts that have occurred prior to this will have not pushed him up to the level where he might go.
Yeah, he's going in a 12-team league. He's going in the 11th round, 128th overall, RB 42, 42nd running back off the board.
See, he's gonna skyrocket now with that. So I would be shocked if it's not at least a 3 or 4 round jump.
Okay. Would you take him ahead of, you know, we always mention these two guys together, but Rashad Jennings and Justin Forsett, would you now take Foster ahead of them?
No.
I'll take him ahead of Forsett just because I don't think Forsett's going to be great this year.
Okay.
But not ahead of Rashad Jennings. I move Jennings up in my rankings. I think he's the giant running back to get for better or for worse.
Okay. So listen, we're getting some emails lately that I think are really my favorite thing about doing the podcast, when you can really connect to the listeners. We got an email on Monday's show from Jovi's dad, and Heath and I had no idea what that meant. We were just like, I don't know, Bon Jovi's dad, what does that mean? He also said, dear Car, Chevy, and what's in your wallet, and those are Chase's. So we didn't know that. But Jovi's dad wrote back, and he said, I wanted to clarify, I have a 2-year-old son named Jovi. The night before he was born, I stayed up until sunrise in the hospital listening to his heartbeat while doing fantasy mock drafts on your website. Over the next 6 months, my job was to walk him. He said talk him. Do you think he meant talk to him or walk him?
Talk to him.
Talk to him for 30 to 60 minutes a day in the stroller after work. And sure. I always listen to your podcast. He sat on my lap.
You can talk to him.
Yeah.
It's a walk and talk.
He sat on my lap through multiple drafts, and last year I won 2 leagues, both named Jovi's dad. So now we know, and I thought that was a really cool story.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jovi's dad.
Jovi sounds a lot like Jamie, with a V for Dave in there.
Okay.
But
just
it's
saying.
IE instead of UI.
Well, maybe you didn't know how to spell Jovi right.
Maybe. So here are your news and notes before we get into average draft position. Also, I know we talk a lot about 12-team leagues. We're doing a 10-team mock draft on CBSSports.com. We're doing this on Monday. We might do it on the air. Whether or not we do it on the air, we'll talk about it on the air, and we will have the results for you on the website. 10-team mock draft.
We could conceivably finish the whole draft while we're on the air.
I think so, yeah. Should we just plan on doing that?
Sure.
Rocket draft.
Rocket draft. Monday afternoon, that's your podcast. Also, we'll have another one tomorrow. Cam Newton doesn't think that the players should have voted him the number one overall player in the NFL Network's top 100 list, which is voted on by the players. Newton was 73rd last year. Now he's number one. Dave and Jamie, who is the best player in the NFL?
Right now?
Yeah.
It's hard to argue against Cam Newton. I mean,
he was definitely the best player last year.
Right. So, I mean, did he lose anything from a year ago? You know, again, he's not my number one fantasy quarterback, but
if you're starting an NFL franchise and you can take any player in the league, would it be Cam Newton?
For this year.
He's in the discussion. I mean,
yeah, I don't think he'd be my number one pick.
Just answer the question.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's not. The answer is no. You would not.
The answer is no.
I would take him.
You would think, I know you think Aaron Rodgers is better.
For fantasy, of course.
Yeah. No,
but
for both.
I think Jamie's looking at it fairly. Right?
Yeah. I mean, if you said to me, okay, you have,
You're the new general manager of the Ottawa Rough Riders.
I love the Ottawa
Rough
Riders.
In the NFL.
All right.
They're moving from the CFL to the NFL.
Sweet.
And as part of this expansion, to pick any player from any team in the NFL.
Well, it depends who's the president if I can get in the country.
Okay. It's on you. You're taking Cam Newton to be the face of your franchise and the
I wouldn't have a problem with it, sure.
That's not a yes.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I guess it's a yes.
Yes. I would take Cam Newton. I don't have a problem with taking Cam Newton. I don't know what you want me to say.
Just the way you're talking right now, I feel like if I had said the exact same question but put Aaron Rodgers' name in there, you would have the same answer. Like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, because I think Aaron Rodgers is great. I think Andrew Luck is great. I think any of those three guys, if I could start my franchise with one of them, I'm not going to be upset about it.
What about Tom Brady? And you have to choose one. You're on the clock. You have to choose.
Oh, I would take Cam. Those three guys over Brady. Sure.
And yeah, Brady isn't number one.
Because
he's 39.
Yeah, I would take Cam over Brady, yes.
Okay. You know what?
And the reason I would take Cam over Rodgers to start a team is because of youth.
Just this year.
For 1 year only?
Yeah.
I'll take Rodgers.
Thank you.
Well, I don't know what question I'm answering. Am I answering?
Yeah, is this
franchise?
The Ottawa franchise, right? Or is this just for 2016?
I specifically said it was just for 2016.
For 2016, I will take Aaron Rodgers.
Now, it's the year 2271. You get any NFL player's son on your team. Who are you? Well, actually, if it's that far into the future, we're talking about great-great-grandson. So who's great-great-grandson?
The best two-hand touch player, because they won't be playing tackle football by that point, will be Jerry Rice's great-great-great-great-great-grandson.
I'm going to go with IBM Big Blue because it's going to be robots playing for me.
I will take Yippee-ki-Azer IV.
There you go. Love it. Die Hard anniversary. All right. There are conflicting reports from ESPN's Bears writer and Chicago Sun-Times writers about Kevin White and his play this spring. You know, ESPN says he's been amazing. Chicago Sun-Times said, work in progress. What have you seen, Dave, from your time in Chicago?
I didn't see Kevin White in my time in Chicago. I can tell you that Bears fans are hopeful for Kevin White. All they're talking about is Jay Cutler, though, and how much they can't stand Jay Cutler. So the better Kevin White does, the happier the Bears fans will be with Jay Cutler.
So it's a repeat conversation from Bears fans.
Yeah, exactly. It's, Bears fans are on repeat.
Now, Jamie, have you ever been to Chicago?
I'm trying to think if I've flown through Chicago. I've never been in Chicago.
Really? You've never been to Chicago?
No.
So, yeah, I went to Chicago for the first time ever a few weeks ago, Dave.
Yeah.
You did not come meet me?
No, I did not.
Yeah, you did.
I was on vacation, Adam.
Yeah.
I see you all the time.
Not really.
We're looking at each other right now.
All right.
And when I see you in person, you're always greeted with a nice hug.
Now, you've also been to New York City many times.
Yes.
So I'm going to say two things about Chicago versus New York City.
Okay. And I'll tell you if you're correct or not.
Number one, Chicago is a much cleaner version of New York City.
Correct.
Number two.
And they work hard on that.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Number two, New York City's food is about 15,000 times better than Chicago's food, roughly.
I don't know if there's a way to quantify that.
It's so much better. It doesn't matter how you quantify it. I was so disappointed in the Chicago food.
He goes,
well, what did you eat?
He goes on a range that's quantifiable, and you go, I don't know how this
is. What did I eat? I ate Giordano's pizza.
Oh, you had Giordano's. It's my favorite.
I did, but I didn't do it right. I had the thin crust. It was late at night. I had to take it.
Oh, my God.
I know.
I didn't have time. McDonald's and ordering a salad.
It was like 11 p.m., which was really like midnight for me, and I didn't want to eat big, so I took it back to the hotel room. It wasn't good, but it wasn't Giordano's fault.
You didn't get the stuffed pizza?
I couldn't. I'm sorry.
You know, it's an inch thick and tons of cheese.
They've had two of those
toppings.
I would have gotten sick if I had had that. I had a sandwich place. I went to
a sandwich place. Well, I mean,
yeah, I just went to a couple of places.
Listen,
they were like
the
so
Chicago
whatever.
Subway versus the New York Subway. You have no idea the difference in what the New York Subway sandwiches are better.
Jamie, you've had sandwich place in a number of cities.
And I went to a Mexican
restaurant.
So
unique. A Mexican restaurant.
Oh, so very traditional Chicago food you've had here.
I just imagine Adam in like a cartoon.
So wait, hold on.
He just walks into a place that just says Mexican restaurant.
Hold on a second.
It's not called.
He goes to Chicago. He goes to one of, am I fair in saying one of the more famous pizza places in Chicago?
Yeah.
It's arguably the best.
Okay. And he gets what they're not known for.
Right.
It was, and complains about the food in the city. Hold
right,
on.
Right, right, yeah.
Then he goes to, quote, sandwich place, close quotes, and yeah. says, not as good as New York, quote, sandwich plate, close quote. Then he goes to Mexican restaurant, as
yep,
he put
yep.
it.
Remember the name?
I picture him walking in like the Three Amigos with the sombrero on, you know, expecting it to be just perfect for him.
Yes, I can actually tell you the name of the Mexican restaurant, but I did love Chicago. I had an excellent time. I hope to go back sometime and spend a little bit more.
It's not fair that you're going to say that. Obviously, when you go and get
but to say 15,000
times sandwich
more.
Place and Mexican restaurant.
No, the Mexican restaurant
really
was
the best of Chicago.
The Mexican restaurant was recommended to me by my friend, and it was called
your friend. What's his name?
Yeah. We're even in Chicago.
I don't know. I can't find it.
Midwest City.
Yeah, I can't find it, but
you can't find Mexican restaurant.
Damn it! This is so embarrassing.
Was it Pepe's?
No.
I love when Adam does this. Such a strong statement. 15,000 times better than Chicago food, New York food. 15,000 times better, and yet this is what he. This is the argument.
Right.
No, because I went to a normal. All right. Anyway, so I also wanted to go to Saved by the Max. Have you been to Saved by the Max, Dave?
No, that's a new thing in Chicago, and it's like impossible to get in. Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a restaurant themed based off Saved by the Bell, and it's built like the Max.
Yeah. And apparently
like,
the food's terrible.
I wonder if they play that when you walk in. That'd be awesome.
Cantina Laredo is the name of the restaurant. Cantina Laredo.
And the sandwich place?
I don't remember. Potbelly's, I think. But
Potbelly's is actually a pretty decent place.
I went there with the fantasy
it's
footballers.
Chain-y.
Yeah, I went there with the footballers. They were cool guys. Glad to meet them. So, anyway, Philly voice, Jimmy Kempsky of the Philly voice. That was a great transition. He doesn't think that Ryan Matthews is a great fit for Doug Peterson's offense because Peterson wants to take his running back and flex him out and put him in different matchups and get him in the passing game. That's not really Matthews' strength. Do you guys agree? Is Ryan Matthews
not a good
fit?
Are you sure it was Jimmy Kempsky of the Philly voice and not Philadelphia Reporter? Philadelphia Reporter thinks Philadelphia running back.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Matthews is a good pass catcher.
Good or average?
He's good. I don't think he's great.
He ain't supposed.
I think Philadelphia's headed for a cauldron of disgustingness this year. Like, there's going to be leftovers from Mexican restaurants.
No, I was going to say that's Chicago food for you right there, Dan.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. The thing about Matthews is you just kind of have to know what you're getting with him, which is if he stays healthy and plays 16 games, I think he'll fall into good enough production that you'll be perfectly happy where you're drafting him in the fifth or sixth round. If he doesn't play 16 games, the thing about it is it was the thing that I think you could have said about Jay Ajayi before the Foster signing and the same thing you say about Matt Jones. They're just in good situations because the guys behind Ryan Matthews, I don't think they're going to trust Wendell Smallwood with a huge role. And I could be wrong in that, but I just don't expect it. And I don't think we're going to see Darren Sproles all of a sudden morph into a guy that's going to handle more than 5 to 10 touches on a given week. So Matthews should still get a ton of work. I don't consider him a good receiver. I think he's okay in that regard. And I think what he gave you in his best year in San Diego, which is about 25 catches, is going to be 25 to 35. I don't see him being, you know, turning into Duke Johnson or Danny Woodhead.
No. He won't do that. And they don't have to have him do that because they've got Sproles
right.
and they've got Smallwood.
But I think if again, what we saw from Matthews in San Diego when he was healthy, what we saw from Matthews last year when he was healthy, he's a guy that's going to average 4 to 4.5 yards a carry. He's a guy that's going to get you good opportunities at the goal line or convert good opportunities at the goal line. And he'll do enough as a receiver that I think if he plays 16 games, I would not be surprised if it's 1,200 to 1,500 total yards.
All right, guys. One more note, and then I really want to get into ADP. I've taken a long time. The Colts want to reduce Frank Gore's workload this year, according to ESPN Colts reporter Mike Wells. Oh, great. Well, now I'm really excited about it. 3.7 yards per carry. Let's give him fewer carries. He's going to do great with that, guys. Yeah.
I wonder if that's going to come about because they build confidence in one of their other running backs, potentially Josh Ferguson, who they signed after the draft. And apparently he's had a good offseason.
They said they would have taken him in the fourth round. That's how much that they liked him.
Right.
I think, though, first off, everything with the Colts last year to me is not worth necessarily bringing up to the level of swaying you one way or the other in certain regards. And Frank Gore's yards per carry, I don't think it's fair to say that he would have averaged 3.7 yards per carry if Andrew Luck played 16 games. Because the appeal of Frank Gore last year and the appeal of Frank Gore this year is playing in a potentially explosive offense. So is he going to turn back the clock and be a great running back? No. But can he be serviceable enough, especially where you draft him? Yes. And I do not see a situation with the Colts that you're going to take Frank Gore off the field a lot. He was already going to come off the field, I think, to begin with anyway. He's 33 years old. You can't expect him to hold up if he's going to play 16 games and you know, make a playoff run like the Colts did when Luck was healthy. So Josh Ferguson is the, you know, in the same report that you're referencing, Adam, Mike Wells, the first name that he said was Josh Ferguson as the guy that could help spell Frank Gore. So Ferguson's a great late round pick, you know, depending on the format that you're in. I took him in the Scott Fishbowl League, the SFB 480. I think he's a great late round flyer in almost any format because just in case Frank Gore doesn't hold up, he's worth it.
Frank Gore. What do me and Josh Ferguson have in common? We both could
spell Frank Gore.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
How do you have dad jokes and you're not even a dad yet? Average, although I guess Zoe counts.
Draft position. Yes, she loves him. Average draft position in the first six rounds. I looked on Fantasy Pros.
Hey, Zoe, why did the chicken cross the road?
Why?
No. You're the joke teller.
Oh. All right. I'll think of a punchline for that, or I'll try. So I went on fantasypros.com and sorted. They give you six sources. I used three, CBS, ESPN, and Yahoo, for the first six rounds. And I'm not going to go through all the rounds. Just want to do some observations. First of all, the first quarterback coming off the board is Cam Newton, number 20 overall. I guess people get it now? What do you guys think about that? Number 20 for Cam Newton.
It's actually better on our site, which I'm very impressed by. He's, I think, like 27.
Ooh.
So I'm thrilled to death that I think it's finally caught on. You don't have to reach for a quarterback early. You can still get great value with Cam in the third round. I mean, who wouldn't be happy with Cam or Aaron Rodgers in that range? You know, if you love your first two picks and you see the way the draft board is sort of falling. So the later you can get one of these guys, the better. And most people are going to take Cam over Rodgers. I think Dave and I are in the minority of having Rodgers ranked first.
Yeah, I just want to point out, Cam Newton had the second best season for a quarterback in the last 4 years. The only one that was better was Peyton Manning in 2013. So, you know, where would you take him? What, for your first opportunity to take Cam Newton, when would you snag him?
Round three. I think if I'm up... If I had the fifth overall pick in the draft, so I'm up fifth overall in round three, or the fifth pick in round three, not fifth overall, and Cam's still there, I would take a chance on him.
Okay. Other observations. Now let's take a look at most of round one, but the top five are interesting because Brown, Beckham, and Julio Jones kind of get lumped together a lot, but the top five, again, this is Yahoo, ESPN, and CBS averages, standard scoring, Antonio Brown 1, Odell Beckham 2, Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, and then Julio Jones. What do you make of that, Jamie?
I don't have a problem with it. I mean, I would take, you know, Jones over the running backs, but I understand how people value those running backs. And if you want to, you know, get one of those elite level guys, you have to, you know, take him. So in PPR, I would take Jones over Beckham because I think he's going to catch more passes, and I think the touchdowns aren't going to make that much of a difference as we saw last year. So that's, you know, from that format, how I would approach it. But I think if you're looking at, you know, you don't want to take a receiver, Julio Jones is the one that's probably going to fall more than the other two.
Dave, does that make sense to you to have those two running backs go in between Beckham and Jones and obviously behind Antonio Brown?
I think it's going to come down to what flavor of ice cream you want in your draft. Mm-hmm. So some people are going to want strawberry ice cream and they'll go with a wide receiver. That'll be the flavor of choice for them. And some people are going to stick with the running backs. I'm one of those guys. I still value heavy workload running backs with potential to finish the year with over 1,500 total yards, over 12 touchdowns, and to get a ton of touches consistently throughout the season. I don't think there's that many of them. I think there are a lot of very good wide receivers that I can come back to in rounds two and three, so I won't feel so bad about missing out on the surefire studs that Brown, Beckham, and Jones are. I don't have a problem. If you don't like any running backs, or you've just been burned by running backs, and you just say, you know, screw it, I'm done with running backs, get them out of here. You want to go with a wide receiver? I get that. But I'm not ready to do that yet. I'm still going to swing for the fences and try and get one of those quality running backs when I can in round one. And when I can't, then my fallback plan is to go with one of those receivers.
Now, I don't have a problem with strawberry ice cream, Dave, but it just, there are just so many better ice cream flavors that I can't imagine a
scenario. Oh, yeah, name one. Name one.
Cookies and cream.
All right, name two.
Rocky Road.
Oh, you're good at this. Name three.
Vanilla. Honestly, like straight up vanilla is better than strawberry.
All right, that's crazy.
You like vanilla better than strawberry?
Yeah, the ice cream,
I mean,
yeah.
We're talking about not French vanilla or vanilla with, you know,
my wife would agree.
Hint of amaretto or something like
she
that.
She loves vanilla ice cream.
Vanilla ice cream is just tremendous.
It is very good.
I think strawberry
has a little more flavor.
I don't think strawberry ice cream is a top 20 ice cream.
Yeah, but neither is vanilla.
Yeah, maybe. All right, more from average draft position, I think.
No, name more ice cream. Sounds good.
Ezekiel Elliott is the number 9 pick, according to average draft position. So it's Brown, Beckham, Bell, Gurley, Jones, Peterson, David Johnson, Rob Gronkowski, and Ezekiel Elliott. He's going ahead of DeAndre Hopkins, Dez Bryant, Jamal Charles. So, yeah, what do you think? He's the 5th running back off the board. I don't think you guys have a problem with that for Ezekiel Elliott, but number 9 overall, is that too high?
Not at all.
If you want him, that's what you're going to have to do to take him.
Are you willing to do that?
Absolutely.
I don't know if I am.
I take him over Peterson.
I'm not ready to do that yet. I'm still expecting Peterson to be very solid this year. Elliott should be great. You look at the spot he's in and his workload and track record in college. Yeah, it should work out. But we've said this before about a bunch of running backs when they came in the league, and it just didn't quite work out the same way. So I am going to be a little more conservative when it comes to Ezekiel Elliott. I probably won't get him in many of my drafts. There will be one person in every draft this year that will chase Zeke Elliott down. So I think this ADP is going to end up being just about right.
Okay. Jamie, at what point did you switch from he's a second round pick to he's a first round pick?
Not long after he was drafted.
Okay. Because I just thought I remembered right after the drafts. We all have changed our opinions since then. It wasn't meant to be a criticism, just a question.
No, I mean, I think I probably, you know, started with him. I always had him as a top 15 pick. So it was just a matter of, you know, moving him up slowly but surely, and then, you know, realizing that with that offensive line and what running back position it is, you know, it's like going back to what Dave said. If you're going to get one of those elite level running backs, you're going to have to take him in the first round, and he's still one of those guys.
All right, so in the second round, a lot of wide receivers coming off the board. After Elliott at 9, it was Hopkins, Dez, and Jamal Charles to finish round one in a 12-team league. And then you got Jordy Nelson, A.J. Green, Devontae Freeman, Allen Robinson, Lamar Miller, Alshon Jeffrey, Doug Martin, Cam Newton. A few wide receiver picks here before Amari Cooper, before Mike Evans, before Brandon Cooks. We have Brandon Marshall at 21 overall, then Eddie Lacy, and then Sammy Watkins at 23 overall. So second, third round swing in a 10-team league or late second round in a 12-team league, Brandon Marshall and Sammy Watkins, are those reaches?
I think they are. I think that there's younger, healthier, better receivers who can be more productive for your fantasy team. And Sammy was great last year, but I want to see him go out and do his thing for a couple of weeks in training camp.
Well, Adam,
the foot injury scares me.
This is one of those situations with both these guys where I think these are the early average draft positions that take into account not knowing the Fitzpatrick situation with the Jets, and certainly around the time, if not well before, Sammy Watkins' injury or surgery was revealed. So, I mean, you think back to, I mean, you can look at our magazine that's out there. You see where Sammy Watkins was ranked for, you know, both of us. He was a top 12, top 14 guy before we knew that he had this surgery. So people were drafting him, and I think he was deserved of drafting in that range, you know, in the first 30 overall picks. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, if we were, you know, to say right now he's 100% healthy, he would, at least for me, I don't want to speak for you, Dave, but he would be bumped back. You know, if we never had the surgery situation, he would be in that top 12 range for sure. Now, Marshall's a different situation because we're getting further and further along where it's seeming like, you know, there could be a situation where Ryan Fitzpatrick maybe isn't with the Jets. I think we all and anybody who's watching the NFL or following it expects him to be back. But the longer this drags on, the more this may become a worse situation for everybody involved.
Yeah. And by the way, Marshall and Watkins, they are wide receivers 10 and 11 right now. Cooper is 12, Evans 13, Cooks 14. Other observations here. Matt Forte, 38th player off the board, 16th running back off the board. There was also a talk about the Jets kind of sharing the workload in the backfield there. So Forte is going ahead of Latavius Murray, Jonathan Stewart, and Jeremy Hill. And he's going five picks before Latavius Murray. There are some wide receivers in between the two running backs there. I don't know. 38th player off the board seems a little early to me on Matt Forte.
Can I just say anything, something to all of our listeners? When you go to your draft, pretend like you're using this average draft position from Fantasy Pros as your guide and just start making like a, man, I can't believe Matt Forte is going that early. Oh, man, you're going to have to really reach to get him. This is going to be
bring
tough.
Bring copies of it.
Yeah.
Put it in front of every owner.
That's exactly my point. You know, just let everybody look at it and go, wow.
DM them the link to it.
Brandon Marshall's at 21. And
oh,
Matt
you're trying
Forte's
to.
At 38.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
you want
this
to happen.
Yeah. You want them to have Marshall. Right.
Right. This makes it great for you. Let it unfold this way. He could be fine. I'd be shocked if he's fine, but you know, could you imagine a situation? First off, I was going to tell you the stat, Adam, with talking about Foster, because it applies to not only what happened to Frank Gore last year, but also with Forte this year. Do you know the only two running backs that have switched teams after the age of 30 to run for 1,000 yards?
Run for 1,000 yards? Not
rush,
total.
Rush for 1,000.
Tony Dorsett.
Was that one of them?
Nope. Neither one. They had to be 30 when the season started.
Right.
Danny and Tomlinson.
Curtis
nope.
Martin.
Nope.
Oh, no.
Chris Johnson.
Teams.
Nope.
Jim Brown.
Nope.
Michael Jordan.
Yes, he had 1,000 yards rushing.
Willie Mays.
NFL running back guy.
Yeah. Mexican restaurant. I have no idea.
Why don't you just tell us?
Yeah.
Herschel Walker.
Okay.
And the great John Henry Johnson.
Oh, John Henry Johnson was one of those guys. Who's John Henry Johnson?
Okay, I'm not the only one.
In the Google, John Henry Johnson.
Doesn't necessarily bode well for Matt Forte to you know, Dave's question, to total 1,000 yards. I think Forte can total 1,000
yards. He's a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, John Henry Johnson.
It just doesn't set up well for him to have a huge season. Now, we could be surprised. Chan Gailey's got a great track record of what he's done with running backs as a coach or a coordinator, and he turned Chris Ivory into a 1,000-yard rusher and a 30-catch guy. Chris Ivory in high school, college, and the first few years of his NFL career didn't have 30 total catches, and he did that in one season with the Jets. So it could be a good situation for Forte, but you don't need to take him in that spot to still get that good situation.
Dave, yeah. Are you on John Henry Johnson's Wikipedia page?
Oh, yeah.
Do you see his – don't look if you haven't seen it because I want you to try to get – his place of birth.
Yeah, I was going to use it later in the show.
Oh, my God. It's so cool. Okay, we'll use his place of birth later
in
the show.
Everybody's just going to have to figure out which place is John Henry Johnson's place of birth.
Because
I'm excited.
Ability to search Google.
Well,
like
I mean,
the two of you.
You can do it right now if you want and spoil the rest of the podcast, or you can just sit there and keep listening like everybody else.
Now I'm excited for emails. So we're going to end our ADP discussion with this idiotic trend. Larry Fitzgerald being taken one spot ahead of Michael Floyd toward the end of round 5. 15 picks ahead of John Brown. No! No! Larry Fitzgerald should not be the first Cardinals wide receiver off the board. Michael Floyd! Breakout season. Here it comes.
Again, take this information with you to your draft. Show it to everybody else.
Yellow highlighter over Larry Fitzgerald's name. In fact, just any player like over the age of 30 at running back or 32 at wide receiver. Take the highlighter. Just put it there. Oh, yeah. Larry Fitzgerald. Get him.
Dave.
You're not taking Adrian Peterson.
Well, he's the exception of the rule. You can go ahead and highlight AP's name and still draft him anyway.
I think like what you should do is like just conveniently put at the top of the list, go Fantasy Owner X's draft list and do what Dave said. Highlight the players that you want people to think that you want.
or leave it somewhere. Like,
that's
leave
what I'm
it
saying. Leave it on the table and walk away. Like, you leave your computer open and somebody would write, "I love cats."
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Dave, I don't think you're aware because you don't listen to the show and you're not on it. Thanks. I'm reasonably confident Michael Floyd is going to be a top 10 receiver this year.
Top 10 receiver?
Yeah.
He has dubbed Michael Floyd this year's Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we saw him last year when he was healthy. He was consistent. He was difficult to cover. I think now, as long as he stays healthy, he doesn't break any fingers in training camp, I think he's going to be really good.
Alrighty.
I don't know about top 10 good, but definitely worth that fourth round pick.
Let's do it. So, emails from... First, this one is from... Let's see. It is from Jason. Where's Jason from, Dave?
Jason is from Pittsburgh, California.
So he says, "Hey, Zach, Tyron, and Travis, the Cowboys starting offensive line, three-fifths of it."
Right.
As a...
Those three would be better than most five-person offensive
probably.
Line.
Right. As a diehard listener, and I think he means of the podcast, not the movie here.
That's what he's Nels. Okay.
Been listening for about 6 to 7 years since that terrible Dave Richard intro. LOL. Dave, what was that intro?
It wasn't terrible. It was good. This is the only fantasy football. This is the only fantasy football podcast you'll need to win your league, and we work hard to keep it that way.
Yeah.
And then we went, that used to be the weekly one. Then we went daily. We work hard, and Dave would always smile. Daily.
I'm so excited we were going daily. I still am.
So this is a three-part question from Jason from Pittsburgh, California. While there's still time, can we please get a Mach 2 quarterback auction draft? Ooh, I don't know.
There's no chance that we're going to have time for that.
No, definitely two quarterbacks. Definitely auction.
We've already done one, two QB one, so you can check that out if you're interested.
Yeah. And there will be auction drafts, and we'll do a two quarterback league that we'll talk about as well, but not a two quarterback auction. Two, there's oftentimes you guys say things like, this O-line is a top X O-line, or the Cowboys have the best O-line, or Jamie called the Raiders offensive line the second best. Can you please rank the top 10 offensive lines in the league? Now, I'm not going to make you guys rank the top 10, but give us some of the best out there.
Packers will be third for me.
Packers is pretty good. God, I just wrote something about this. I'd have to go back and double check a list. I know Atlanta's is up and coming.
I still like Arizona's.
Arizona's is definitely good.
New England's, I think, is still good. Don't love it, but I like it just because of what they do.
Did we mention Dallas?
Yeah. Miami's will be better with the addition of Tunsil. They actually have now four guys that should be very competent on their offensive line, as long as Pouncey's healthy. Pittsburgh's offensive line is still very good.
That's the one I was thinking.
I saw Pro Football Focus's their rankings. They had Seattle in the bottom three. I was shocked to see that, even with the changes that they've had. Denver's was in the bottom. That was surprising. Cincinnati's offensive line should still be very good, although that didn't help Jeremy Hill last year at all.
I think two questions is enough for Jason. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. Here's Christian. Where's Christian from?
Christian is from Intercourse, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Jackson.
Jackson. That's so funny, Adam.
You know what's funny about that is, like, people are going to think that's the one that John Henry Johnson was from, and that I saw that on Wikipedia, and I was like, giggle, giggle, Dave, can you believe where John Henry Johnson's from? But that is not the one, so I'm not that immature. So here's the question. Yeah, he says, hey, Jackson, Clay, and Opie. I know that. That would be Sons of Anarchy, which I am trying to finish before football season starts, so no spoilers, please. I've noticed that you're aboard the not drafting first round quarterbacks train. I love it. Except I don't believe you guys go far enough. The only quarterback who's worth a fourth or fifth round selection is Aaron Rodgers. After that, every quarterback taken until the double digits is poison fruit. Certainly Cam, Carson Palmer, Breeze, Roethlisberger are all going to be awesome fantasy quarterbacks, but Rivers, Eli, Stafford, Cousins, Cutler, Alex Smith, they'll all have extremely usable weeks. These usable weeks can easily be predicted through matchups. You do not need to have the same starting quarterback throughout the season. I haven't done that in any of the last 4 years. So how can you rationalize drafting quarterbacks in early to mid rounds and sacrificing top-end talent at positions like running back and wide receiver?
Because eventually you'll get to the point where the talent that's available at running back and wide receiver is good, but you can't pass up what's left at quarterback. At least theoretically, that's what you'll see.
I and this email and the league that Sons of Anarchy's
Christian
plays in a league that is very much the exception to the rule. And we talk about this all the time, that you see our mock drafts on the site, and what we kind of say about waiting for quarterbacks is typically not what happens in most drafts. It's why we're shocked to hear Cam Newton's average draft position is in the, you know, the mid to low 20s. That just doesn't happen most years. Usually you see one or two quarterbacks go in the first round. And so, yes, it's great if you can wait to the sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth round to get Drew Brees. It's great if you're, you know, picking from Philip Rivers and Eli Manning in double digit rounds. That just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. So in your league, that's fantastic. Yes, wait as long as you possibly can. Do that. But in most leagues, you're going to see the guys that you mentioned, the Staffords, the Cousins, all those guys are being drafted as number two guys in the range where you're talking about sometimes getting number one.
Next email is from Parker. Where is Parker from?
Parker's from Crapstone, England.
I can keep either Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham for the next 4 years, and both of them will cost my first-round pick. I love Antonio for redraft leagues this year, but is the four-year time frame enough to warrant keeping Beckham over Brown?
Yes.
Next up, Corey. Okay, Corey is stationed at Fort Huachuca? I don't know. Arizona, United States Army. All right, Corey, thank you for your service, sir.
Thank you.
After listening to the podcast for the past 2.5 years, I've noticed I find myself getting excited about certain players and listening to you guys get excited about certain players during the off season. So when I do mock drafts, I find players just seem right and they fall to me. Okay, no, I'm sorry. I find myself always leaning towards and taking the same guys. My bad. Even when I try to avoid this value of the player, it just seems right and he falls to me. Do you have suggestions to avoid this or have different mindsets when the guys you like just seem to always fall to you? And I think what he's talking about is always drafting the same guys that you like. Should you avoid that?
No. It's like somebody taking CJ Anderson in the third round of every draft. I don't know.
Yeah.
You ever see that, Dave? Somebody takes CJ Anderson in the third round?
Yeah.
Draft?
He's
like every draft.
Same guy took Darren Sproles in a bunch of drafts.
Yeah.
Except this guy who you're talking about probably called him Broncos running back, not CJ Anderson.
That's right. I mean, look, it's not a bad situation to take players that you like if you feel a strong inclination that they're going to perform at a high level. So the reason you're probably taking them in that particular spot is because those are the ones you're gravitating toward. It's not a bad situation. Now, if you're reaching for those guys, like Adam likes Michael Floyd. Adam, correct me if I'm wrong. You're not taking Michael Floyd probably before the fourth round.
Absolutely right.
Right. So you can sit here and say, and you'll hear probably me, Dave, Heath, Adam, Chris Towers, whoever's on any podcast you listen to, I think this guy could be the X best at his position. Like, I think Kobe Fleener could be the second best tight end. I don't have him ranked that way because I don't expect it to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised. It's why we had the conversation about Devontae Parker, where he could finish, where Michael Floyd could finish, where Ezekiel Elliott could finish. I mean, you know, those guys all have great situations. That's why we hype them up. So don't feel like you're doing the wrong thing by taking those guys in the right spot. Like Heath and I were having this conversation today, just to give you an example. He says he's shocked that Tyler Lockett, to bring back ADP, is being drafted in the eighth round. And he said by the time your real drafts come around, he thinks he could be a sixth round pick. Now, I don't know if I'm taking Tyler Lockett in the sixth round, unless something dramatically changes between
Baldwin
now.
Baldwin would have to and miss a plane somewhere.
Right. I think, you know, you're better off suited getting Tyler Lockett maybe the seventh round if you're really so inclined to go after
right,
him.
Right, that's the time to take him. No one's going to take him before then.
That round difference or two round difference could really, you know, throw off your entire team if that player that you are really excited about doesn't materialize.
Yeah, but I do like to diversify a little bit. I will not take CJ Anderson in every league. If it gets
oh, is you?
But if it gets to the point where I have C.J. Anderson in the first two or three drafts that I've done, and now I'm doing my fourth one, and he's sitting there, like I'm probably not going to take him. I don't want to be
but
too invested.
But why wouldn't you? Well, wait. If you really believe in him and you think he's going to have a great year, this is your team.
Because.
And this is supposed to be fun for you.
Yeah.
You shouldn't necessarily want to diversify. You're talking about him just, it's round four and he's still there, but and this is your guy? Take him.
I don't have a problem with somebody doing that if, in fact, you do, not necessarily because you're afraid. but you just want to have the opportunity to take different players that you like. So, Adam, my question to you would be is, who's somebody along the lines of CJ Anderson that you like that you would take in that range? Like Latavius Murray, is that somebody?
Who? No, you know I'm not a huge Murray guy. Honestly, they go probably, well, I have to check average draft position. I think they're pretty far apart in ADP, but I think I like Ryan Matthews close to as much as I like.
So, okay, so that's a great situation because let's say you would go running back receiver. That's typically, I think, a lot of what you end up doing. And you're looking at CJ Anderson. Okay, that's your favorite second running back to take. But now you're staring at maybe, I don't want to say Michael Floyd because that's around too soon, but let's say T.Y. Hilton fell. And you're so inclined to take T.Y. Hilton as your second receiver now instead of CJ Anderson. So now you changed up your routine. You're taking Hilton, and now you're coming back in round four and maybe taking Floyd, and then you come back in round five and you take Matthews. You like the way that turned out, correct?
Yeah, I like that. I don't think I'm going... I think I'm more likely to go receiver, but definitely not two running backs with my first two picks, which is why I always think in the third round, CJ Anderson kind of makes sense for me as my number two running back. Sometimes my number one running back. But
the thing I find that maybe is interesting, and I don't know, we can't ask Parker this question, is like for you, I just always notice in the third round, and I sometimes chastise you for it, but it's different spots for you. It hasn't always been back end of the third round.
Right.
It's middle of the third. It's almost like, no matter where you are in the third round, because that's typically the spot where he falls, is you're taking him. And I wonder if Parker's finding the same situation or anybody in this scenario is finding the same situation, that no matter where you are in that particular round of where a guy may go, you're still taking him as opposed to, okay, let me see if he can make it back to me if you're at the back end of the third and maybe he could fall to the fourth round. That's the game I think a lot of people have to play if you fall in love with certain players.
Okay, well, let me clarify because you are right. I have taken CJ Anderson at the beginning of the third round, the middle, the end. I think he represents to me a change in running back tier where you're getting a guy that potentially is going to have a big workload. He's had in spurts. He's had a lot of success at times. He's been bad at times. So that's why I think he might be one of your last chances to get a stud running back. Now, of course, I look back at that comment I just made, last chance to get a stud running back in December when, you know, the Devontae Freemans of the world and the David Johnsons of the world have exploded, and that would sound foolish. But at least on draft day, CJ Anderson represents the end of a tier to me, which is why I usually try to take him in the third. I don't think I'm getting him in the fourth. And just the last thing on diversifying, the reason why I want to diversify is because we're wrong all the time. Nobody can predict this stuff 100% accurately. That's part of sports. So you have to at least prepare yourself for the possibility of being wrong. And if I'm wrong on CJ Anderson, it could ruin me in every single league. So that's right. Why I will not invest that much in one player.
I also think that, you know, in the running back conversation, this is where the handcuff is such a huge situation. Because if you know you're going all in on CJ Anderson, and it's looking more and more likely that Devontae Booker is going to be the handcuff guy, you should, okay, if I'm going 100% in on CJ Anderson in every league, I'm going 100% in on Devontae Booker. It does not matter to me. And this could sort of tie in back to the Arian Foster. If I know Jay Ajayi was my guy, I know Arian Foster is also my guy. If I know Peterson, I'm still believing him, I have to get McKinnon. Bell and D'Angelo Williams, same situation.
And I'll go a step further. Let's say Adam here is in a draft and somebody takes CJ Anderson with the pick right in front of him in round three. He could still go and get Booker in the later round, and it's not as impactful. You don't, when it comes to the back half of your draft, you take the same guys. I don't think it's that impactful,
yeah.
A negative impact if you miss on him.
Totally.
Like, I love Kenneth Dixon, and so if I take Kenneth Dixon in every draft and he strikes out with Baltimore, well, boo-hoo for me, but it's a pick in round seven or later that I use to get Dixon on my team.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily – I don't think that's going to break my team. Versus if I went crazy and I thought Kenneth Dixon was going to be the next Ezekiel Elliott and I took him in round three in every draft and he bombs, well, that's going to hurt my team a lot more.
Dave, you fool. You did not even use John Henry Johnson's birthplace.
We have one more email to read.
And the guy tells us what city he's from.
No, so we're going to change that.
Okay, fine. Where's Mike from, Dave? He's not from Culver City, California. I don't know what would have given you
and
that
now
idea.
Everybody knows that John Henry Johnson is originally from Waterproof, Louisiana.
What a cool name. He
not
says,
here, of course. Whatever it was.
Where would you rather be from? Jamie Eisberg, proud son of Intercourse, Pennsylvania, or proud son of Waterproof, Louisiana?
Waterproof, Louisiana. Isn't that kind of ironic?
Well, it depends on where in Louisiana we're talking. Obviously, if it's on the coast,
waterproof,
then you're not waterproof. But if you're way north in the state, you know, the top part of the boot, I bet you're, it's not so bad there.
Dear Robert.
And that's where it is. I'm looking at it right now. It's in the northeastern quadrant of the top of the boot in Louisiana.
Ready?
Average rainfall. I'm going to find out what their average
is. Okay, now we don't need that. Dear Robert, Jimmy, John, and John.
There's
Paul.
No water in waterproof.
Robert, Jimmy, John, and who?
Robert, Jimmy, John, and John Paul. It's got to be Led Zeppelin, right?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
It's got to be. The last 2 years, while still a snake draft, I've used your auction values to help me tier players with some of my own tinkering for each position, and it really helps my draft position versus position. So it's still, I do it in a snake draft. I use your auction values. It's been dynamite. But since both leagues I'm in have three wide receivers and the standard two running backs, tight end, and flex, how would this affect your auction values as a rule of thumb? Would wide receiver values go up 10%, 20%? What adjustment would you make to other positions in a three wide receiver league?
Yeah, I'd probably bump them up no more than 10%. And I would probably dock running backs 5 to 10%. It would be very small.
Okay. Also, one of the team leagues is 10 team league, is a 10 team league. How does that affect auction values?
Depends on the budget.
$100.
Yeah, I think that they're basically the same.
I would spend maybe some more of the lower studs in a 10 team auction than I would in a 12 team auction, because you know you're going to get a lot of great players for a dollar, or more great players for a dollar.
Theoretically, unless everybody in the league kind of saves their money, which you can get a beat on early on after the first 10, 15 players are up for nomination.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, waterproof Louisiana. That's a big takeaway from today's show.
That's the big takeaway?
I think so.
How about your uneducated palate? Your lack of knowledge of fine restaurant locations.
Based on John Henry Johnson being one of two running backs to get over 1,000 yards after the age of 30, I think Adam, aside from naming his first child Yippee-ki-yay-zer, should name his second child A's something Azer.
A's Henry Azer.
A's Henry Azer. And that kid is definitely destined for greatness.
I would say so. A's is a pretty sweet name.
I like it.
Yeah, I know some kind of D-bag.
Can you imagine if your kid, they're in school, and obviously your kid's going to be one of the first names called because it's A. So let's just say there's like three kids there. Yeah, you know, so it's like John Adams II. Yippee-ki-yay-zer.
Yippee-ki-yay-zer, yeah.
Kid raises his hand, and then the other class, it's A's Azer.
What are you talking about right now?
I think Jamie's tired.
Yeah, I was going to tell you that I knew it kind of a D-bag that called me A's, and I really hated it. It was just...
Who was it? Call him out. No.
This guy, he would just nickname everyone. Yeah, he would call you Eyes. He would call Dave, like, D-Rich. He just was such a nicknamer. And he calls me A's, and I just think that's such a lame nickname. I'm totally
What's wrong
not.
With D-Rich? D-Rich has got a
new I think story. We've got a new takeaway from today's podcast, Jamie.
A's?
Yeah.
No, the takeaway is that I suck at editing shows, but that's nothing new. So have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
You just A's the end of this show.
The A's out. See ya.
Bye.